Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Thank you. I'm Don't Put your hands together right where you are. Come on, just one. Jesus, we are here. Thank the Lord that we are back Hallelujah, Jesus. We praise the Lord for this day. This is truly the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoicing. We are glad. We are exceedingly glad because he grant us this opportunity to be in the house of the living this morning. This morning. Glory to God. We are excited to get back here. Seemed like everybody was going in the same way we were going. I had to take my granddaughter to work, and the traffic was everywhere. But we are here. We are not complaining. Could have been the other way. We could have gotten an accident, hurt ourselves or hurt someone. But Father, we thank you for this word that we are about to deliver today. We know, O God, that you have given it to us because we had another plan, but you changed the plan. Oh God, we just ask that you use my eyes, my ears, and my lips so clear to speak your word to the best of my knowledge and the best of my understanding. Lord, release the anointing in the atmosphere now. Your presence, oh God, that makes the difference when we speak. In Jesus' holy name we pray. We're going to be talking about operating in the Father's will. Operating in the Father's will. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let us go into the word and get into the word and get deep into this stuff today. Quick, fast, in a hurry. Let's go to Second Chronicles. That's where we are, right? Second Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Oh, bless the name of the Lord Jesus. The word of God is good. All we have to do is be patient with the word and let the word do what only the word can do. I'm trying to figure out how God's going to do it. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. Hallelujah. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And we're talking about today operating in the Father's will. And you know that we all can get into our own will from time to time. We want to do it our way. And we get so bold and so puffed up that we say, my way or the highway. We'll say that quick in a hurry. My way or the highway. But God says his way. His way or the other way is destruction. It is destructive and destruction. So we want to do things God's way, which is pleasing to God. Here in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 15. The Bible says, Now Azariah, the son of Oded, of God came upon him. And he went out before Asa and said to him, hear me, O Asa, and all of Judah and Benjamin. God is with you while you are with him. And if you will seek him, you will find you, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now that is so powerful right there. That is so powerful. The prophet goes out to the king and let the king know, look, God is with you. He's with you as long as you seek him. While you are with him, he is with you. So we have to pay attention to that. God wants to be with us, but we got to have the same desire to be with him. We have to have that desire that we want to be with our Savior. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Know how many people want to be with him when they need something or when they're in a bad spot. Hallelujah. When they're in a bad spot, they want to be with God. They want to pray. They want to fast. They want to seek God when they're in a bad spot. When everything is going well for them, they don't have need for God. It's the way I got a good job. My wife, my husband, my kids, everybody operating good. Everything is going fine for me. I don't need to talk to God. I don't need to pray. But the Bible said that the prophet said to the king, hear me. In other words, pay attention to what I'm saying, Issa. He says, hear me, O Issa. And all of Judah and Benjamin, he's talking to all the people. He says, God is with you while you are with him. See, you got to be with him. You got to have that desire to be with him. Not because you want something from him, but because of who he is in your life, in our lives. All hell is breaking out all over the world. All over the world, all hell is breaking out. I have a person, I'm not so familiar with them, from another nation. It's trying to connect with me because they say they need help. I'm not familiar with her. Maybe she saw me when I was in Africa, but I'm not familiar with her. And they say, I need to get in touch with her because she needs my help. See, God said he'll be with you if you be with him. If you seek him, he will be found of you. We want God, but we don't want to spend time. We don't want to get into the word early, late, midday, anytime, and just talk to God. Somebody say, I want to preach well. I want to know more word. I want God to put, no, God is not going to put it. You got to put it in. He gave you the word already. He gave it to us. It's penned down by men of God. Holy men of God, pen this word down for us. We want to know more. We want to speak more. We want to say more. You want to be more prolific, but you don't want to spend time. You don't want to spend time in it. You want to listen to what everybody else says. Then you use it. Somebody say something, or it sounds good. I'm going to take that. Some things I take from people, but I don't depend on every preacher to give me something. If I hear the word of God and it's a good nugget, I say, oh, yeah, I'm going to use that nugget. That's good. It helped me. It helped somebody else. So he went on and he says, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. In other words, if you reject God, what do you think God is going to do? Just stand there waiting for you? No, his arms is always open for the lost to come back or the backslider to come back. But he's not standing there waiting on you. He's everywhere at the same time. So what we have to do is we have to repent and go back, return to him. And he'll return to us. He said, if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Now, Israel has been without the true God many days, and without a teacher, a teaching priest, and without law. But it struggled, it returned to God, the God of Israel. They sought him, and he was found by them. Now, can you imagine this, that for several days, the Bible says several days, many days, they were without the true God. Why the Bible said without the true God? Because they were worshiping another God, a different entity. They were worshiping some kind of idol that they were calling God. Maybe a cow, maybe a sheep, maybe a goat. They were worshiping something else that they called God. Like we do from time to time. We worship our cars. We worship our home. We spend more time trying to get the garden fixed, get the lawn fixed, everything dressed up to look real good. Then somebody drive by, they say, man, that brother keeps his house, that sister keeps her house fine. But we don't spend enough time in the Word of God so that the angels could say, the angel and the Lord, the sovereign Lord, could say, my son, my daughter is spending time seeking my face. The angels is seeking the Lord. We got to spend time. He says that, watch what the prophet is saying. He says, in trouble, they returned to God, the God of Israel. They sought him, and he was found of them. And in those times, there was no peace for the one going out are the one coming in. Listen to this. Because they have turned away, rejected God, worshiping as there was no peace. Do you know when we turn away from God and we go back into the world and we start doing the stuff that we used to do that God had delivered us from, we have no peace? There's no peace in us. Why? Because the peace comes from him. The joy comes from him. Joy, unspeakable, full of glory, comes from him. So we leave him from time to time and go back in hanging out with our brothers and our sisters, the ones that we went to grammar school with, the ones that we grew up with in the neighborhoods. We want to hang out with them. We want to hang out with them. We want to fit in the in crowd. You hear me? Always said, don't follow the crowd, follow the cloud. The cloud is his presence. But he says, listen. And in those days, in those times, there was no peace for the one going out or the one coming in. For great tumults was upon all the inhabitants of the land. Nation was crushed by nation, and city was against city. For God threw them into confusion by all sorts of trouble. No, listen. God allowed them to go into all types. Listen, the Bible says he threw them into all sorts of troubles. But as for you, he's talking to Asa, be strong, talking to Asa and to Judah and to Benjamin. He said, the nations are reaping trouble, but God has chosen you out of the nation, out of the nations, he wrote, for you to come back home. And now God is saying to his people through the prophet, be strong and let not your hands be weak, for there is a reward for your labor. Hallelujah. How quick we give up from doing what God called us to do what we want to do. Very quickly we give up. We find an excuse not to do what God called us to do, so not to go where God is sending us. Hallelujah. We find an excuse not to bless the ones that God said to bless. Hallelujah. We first thing we said, why can't they find a job? Why can't they get a job? They ain't no job for nobody. I went to my place just now. It's a government office. You know, they drive the trucks and stuff and fix the stuff in the road and stuff. And they drive the snow plows and all that stuff. The parking lot is filled with trucks, pickup trucks. If they got two African Americans working at that branch, they got a lot. I've never seen one of them working in the highway working, whatever you call it, maintenance. I've never seen a black one. So you say you want a job, and that's what you do, but you can't get it. I had to retire when I got here. I want to work. I want to work full time for a company. And every company I went to at the time, they said I had too much knowledge. Because I couldn't come in there and work for $10 or $12 an hour. My skill don't allow me to work for that kind of money. So they said I had too much knowledge. One guy said, he said, I hire you got the skills that I need. And then he said, a couple of days later, he got some other white guy that come that would work for less, maybe half of what I want to get paid. And he told me that he find somebody for the job. And I said, I know that. Go. I said, I know that. And God was taking care of me ever since. Here, verse 8 of 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And when Asa heard these words, the prophecy of Oded, the prophet, he took courage and removed the veil the vile idols, excuse me. He removed the vile idols from all the lands of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities that he had taken in the hill country of Ephraim. And he repaired the altar of God that was in front of the portico of God, the entrance of God. Now, see, folks, don't understand what's going on in our nation. We are going backward in time. It seems like if we're progressing with all of this new technology and all this stuff, new designs and all this stuff, everything looks new. But maybe in reality, in the spirit realm, we are going back in time. We're going back where people, instead of worshiping the sovereign God, they're worshiping idols. They're worshiping the satanic idols and everything that's not of God. So we're going backward in reality. People are rejecting God like they did back then. And then what happened when they rejected God back then, God's wrath came upon the people. And he had to destroy many people in order for stuff to come, eyes to be opened, or the light to be turned on. Do you hear me today? So, Asa eyes were open after the prophet spoke to him. And he went and began to turn down all the satanic idols, statues and the altars of Satan. And now he rebuilt the altar of God, Jehovah God. Verse 9 says, and he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and those sojourners, the foreigners, with them. From Ephraim, Manasseh, and Simeon. For many had deserted to him from Israel when they saw that God, his God, was with him. And they were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month of the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they sacrificed to God on that day from the war booty or from the spoil that they got, they brought back. Now, what happened is, after that Asa had turned on all the idols and stopped the people from worshiping Baal and all of these different gods that they were worshiping, the sun god Asherah and all this stuff, God showed up for them in the battle. And they begin to win. They begin to defeat the enemies. So now they have a great spoil, gold and silver and purple and silk and everything. And now they come now to show to the people. And now the folks that have turned away, have retreated and rejected God, now they begin to come. Because they see that Asa, they realize that God now was with this King Asa, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was with Asa. So now the people of Israel begin to come back. Jerusalem begin to come back to the flock, come back to the team, per se. We have to get up, like we were saying yesterday, we got to get up and we got to pray. We got to pray. I was praying on my bed this morning, praying for this nation, praying for all the nations that I could remember, just lifting them up before the Lord. Why? Because if we don't pray, they're going to be a great disaster from north to south, from east to west. And he said, don't just pray for the ones under the building. Don't just pray for the ones that go to the same, are part of the same fellowship. Pray for everybody. He said, when I rain on the just and the unjust. Hallelujah. When the sun shines, don't just shine on the Christians. It shines also on the sinners. He said, so you got to pray for them. No, watch here. Glory to God. They came back with so much stuff. Verse 10 says, and they were gathered at Jerusalem in the third month. We'll read this already. Verse 11 says, and they sacrificed to God on that day from the war booty or the spoil they brought back. 700 oxen, 7,000 sheep, and they entered into a covenant to seek God, the God of their ancestors, with all their heart and with all their innermost being. But all who will not seek God the God of Israel shall be killed. From young to old. From women, from men to women. And they took an oath to God with a great voice, with shouting, with trumpets, and with horns. And all Judah rejoiced over the oath, for they swore with all their heart. And they sought him with their whole desire. And he was found by them. See, when you come and you seek God with everything that's inside of you, everything that's inside you, you will find him. You will know that God is there. See, God is not a plaything. Deacon Fred always say that. He's not a plaything. He knows when you are truly seeking him with your heart. And he knows when you're playing games. He knows when you truly love him. And when you think you're faking him out. You can't fake him out. Because see, we talk a good game with our mouth. How we love him. But our actions don't say the same thing. We find it difficult to give to the poor. Hold your finger right there where we are. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 19. Thank you, Lord. We find it hard. Proverbs chapter 19. To give to the poor. We have an excuse for everything when it comes to doing what that's the. This is the will of God. Where you are, when we are operating in the will of God, like I said, operate in the Father's will. This is what it says, Proverbs 19:7. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will be paid him again. In other words, God is going to repay. Having pity is not looking down on the poor. It's having compassion. You recognize that they have a need, and God has supplied us with what we need to give to the poor. Just the other day, we just took care of a family so they can pay bills. And this morning, I look on my phone. I was just going through my phone, deleting stuff. And there's somebody, I don't know who the person is, they said, Nene, send $100. I don't know who the person is. But I'm going to find out, because I got to find out who the person is to take them, because they're helping us do what God calls us to do. He had that here in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 15. Here back in Chronicles, chapter 15. And we are down here, verse 16, he said, and also Micah, the mother of Asa, the king removed her from being queen. She was queen mother, okay? But the king removed her from her position. Sometimes you have to remove some people from the position when they don't honor God and they're doing another thing. They're like using a Ouija board, using a crystal ball, they go to the palm reader, they're reading cards, they're following the horoscopes. You cannot have them in ministry with you. So that's why you have to be observant or discerning of what kind of spirit is working with you. So that's her son. The son removed his mother. Listen why he removed her. He's going to tell you what he removed. It says, the king removed her from being queen, because she had made a repulsive image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her repulsive image, and he crushed and buried it at the Wadi, the river, Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was fully devoted. Listen to this. Nevertheless, see, his mother was worshiping different gods. A different god. Like a lot of the people of Israel and Judah and Jerusalem, from time to time, they worship false entities. And he moved her from she had a queenship position. Just like if he had died, she would have been she would run the whole nation, all the different nations. But he removed her from the position, and he tore down the idol that she was worshiping, representing Ashtoreth. This is the sun god or the fertility, god of fertility. And he says here, he fully devoted all his days to serving God. He brought the holy objects of his father and his own holy objects into the house of God, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no war until the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So all the time of his reign, after he had returned from hearing the prophet spoke to him, hearing the word of God, he began to allow God to lead him and guide him. And he began to operate in the will of the Father. In other words, he began to do what thus says the Lord. Let's go to another scripture. Let's go to Luke chapter 6. Luke, I'm going to jump about a lot of places. I lose a little time today dropping my granddaughter off to her job. But that's all right. That's what grandparents have to do from time to time. You have to make sacrifices, you know. But we're still here. Luke chapter 6, and let's start at verse 27. But I say unto you, Jesus speaking, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. This is, if you look at Matthew chapter 5, same word. This is the Beatitudes. Because people want to know. And Jesus says, you got to bless those that curse you. He says, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. Hallelujah. Those that mistreat you. It says, verse 29, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer the other. And him that take away from thy cloak, take away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that take away thy goods, ask them not again. He says, if I have a guy that many, many years, I just come up into my spirit. I was at a church in Prince George's County. I was the youth pastor there. And a long time ago, and this guy was there with his wife and his daughter, and he was a member. And his brother is one of those media commentators. I tell who his brother's name to call him Smiley. Smiley. Can't remember his first name, but he's that's his last name, Smiley. He was working at the Black Station, BT something, the Black Station Network. And he wouldn't go to his brother, but he came to me because at that time I had my business. And he wanted a lot of money. And because he was losing his apartment. And it was the wintertime. And I couldn't see him going on the street with his wife and his daughter or trying to get in a shelter or something. And when, you know, when the weather get cold and what, you can't get in a shelter, they're packed. So I loaned him the money. He said, when I get my first check, I'm gonna pay you some of the money. But once I gave him that, that was it. I don't think he went back to the church. I never got a face. I never looked for him or asked for him or even tried to call him. But this is what Jesus is saying here. When you lend people, and you say you're a Christian, you're a brother, you're a sister, and you lend them $100, $200, $500, we can't afford. We're not rich. We can't afford to say we're just lend a person $1,000 and don't get it back. You want it back. But God said, don't worry about it. If they don't pay you back, it's between them and God. Go on. God going to take care of you. Say, then God, that's all I've been doing, taking care of me. Let's go in here and get this thing in here, get this word in here. Look, he said, give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh thy goods, ask him not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. Likewise. Now, what do you expect men to do to you? You do to them. You know, do to them. And sometimes as a intercessor, as a ambassador of God, you expect people to treat you good because your mindset is to treat them good. But most of the time, they're not going to treat you good. And a lot of them are going to talk about you behind your back. And you can't worry about that and lose your focus on what God called you to do. You got to remember, I don't care if you like me or don't like me. I'm not here for you to like me. I'm here for you to get closer to God. That's my job. My job is to point you to Jesus. And I hope that you see him through the word that I'm giving to you. He's there to be come on here. But I'm here for you to love me. So, oh, Papa, I love. No, if you love me, so be it. Because God already loved me. I know he loved me. He woke me up this morning. People get mad because this body don't want to hear you, or that body don't want to hear you, or I don't care. I'm going to listen to you every time you preach, every time you sing, every time you dance. If I get a chance, why? Because God might say something through you, the word that you say for me to help you to go forward. I'm not going to let you stop me from hearing what God says because of the way you talk about me, the way you treat me. No, I'm not going to let that happen. No, I'm going on. I'm going to hear what God says. That's my idea. He says, if you do good to them, which do good to you, he said, what? What thanks have ye? He said, for sinners also even do the same. For sinners also do even the same. He said, and if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thanks have you? He said, for sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. See, God willing for us to operate the way he operates. When God blesses us, he doesn't look for us to come back and bless us. You know, if you come back and say, well, look, man, I got this morning and I was going down the road and somebody called me and I got a good job. I was able to go and tow this car. If you drive a tow truck, if you're working whatever your field is, and somebody give me a side job, I was able to make, man, X and Monk $1,000, man. Oh, God don't expect you to come back, but if you come back, he recognize you. He recognize you come back. He recognize that you come back and you give to the church. A lot of folks say they have to get, in order for them to give to the church, to give to the working of the kingdom, their bucket has to be overflowing. They can't give like the woman with the two mites. Their buckets have to be overflowing. Hallelujah. Let's go to, we still there. He says, but love you, your enemies, verse 35, and do good, and lend hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the treasure of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Hear what God says? It's the will of God. Hallelujah. He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. He said, your reward will be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. When you operate in this mindset, in this will, go to, let me hear, let's see, verse 37. 36. Be therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. That's the will of God. Sometimes we don't want to extend no will. Why should I be merciful to them and they treat me so bad? You know, why should I be merciful? Why should I give them what they always talk about me all the time? Well, the Bible talks about that too. Well, you bless them that curse you and treat you bad, you heap a corn for them on their heads. But we find it hard. I ain't gonna give them a drink of water. I ain't gonna give them a peanut butter and jelly sandwich because they've been talking about me bad. Man, if the Lord bless us to get this money, people are saying it's going to hurt the country. I don't know. But if the Lord bless us to get this money, the first thing I'm going to bless a pastor that talk real bad about us, real bad, treat us bad, even try to take our life, I'm going to bless him. I'm going to bless his ministry because it's going to be more money than that we can handle. This is what he says. Judge not that you shall not be judged. Condemn not that you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good weather, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, with all it shall be measured to you again. It shall be measured. See, what you do is coming back to you. God is going to bless you. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 18, all in the King James Version, Matthew 18 and 33. It's a lot in here, but I just want to give you a couple here. This here, he says, shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now this story here is about a man that loaned out some money to one of his neighbors. You can say it this way. I don't want to read the whole scripture. But he loaned some money to one of his neighbors. And when he come, he went on a safari. He went on a cannibal cruise. He went on a sabbatical. He went down to the Caribbean or went up to Europe or Hawaii. He was there vacationing. But when he came back, he was expecting to get the repayment of the loan. But the neighbor says, man, I don't have the money yet. I need to give me a little bit more time. Don't take me before the judge. Don't condemn me. Just give me a little bit more time. So the master looked upon him and said, okay. I could see you're hurting. You're not making enough money to pay me what I loan you, and I'm gonna extend the time. He said, the master said, well, look, I'm gonna extend your time till you get the funds to pay me, and he went off smiling. But then he met the same one that the master gave him an opportunity. You know the scripture. I'm just paraphrasing. He found one of the same guy that just got compassion from his master. He met one of his fellow servants that owed him some money. And he grabbed him by the throat and grabbed him and said, look, you need to pay me right now what you owe me. I need my money. Or I'm going to have you put in jail. And the servant just begged him, crying and begging, lament for compassion. But he wouldn't give him any compassion. He had no compassion on him. He said he wanted his money. But they reminded him of what the master had done for him, but he didn't care. So the people that saw what he was doing to his fellow servant went and told the master. And the master called him and called him a wicked. He said, should you have compassion on your fellow servant as I had compassion on you? You know, we want God to do so much for us. We want his will to operate in our life, but we don't want to operate in his will. To operate in his will, we have to be willing to give. We have to be willing to forgive, and we have to be willing to have compassion on other people. This is what he said here. Go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Hallelujah. And 13. Jesus said, but and he But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Jesus is talking about all this stuff that's going to go on. Listen, you know this scripture. I just put up that one from in there. A lot of stuff that's going to go on. A lot of trials and tribulations. Famine, wars and rumors of war, pestilence, kingdom against kingdom, nation against nation. All this stuff going to go on. I just read this morning that there was a nuclear weapon went off. I don't know how true. Because everything you see, you gotta proof check it. They was able to see the blast from in New Zealand. I don't know because I haven't seen it on a local news here, but I saw it on YouTube this morning. Yeah, somebody had a picture of it on and how the blast spread over the and I said, well, Lord, the things that it had begun. People are worshiping the heifer, we call them, the cow. They're worshiping. They had it in New York City, in Times Square, a big cow, a metal cow that they made in New York. It gone to another state now. And I say they was up there and they were worshiping. And that represents the idol Baal. Here, so here we go to. So we got to have compassion. We, you and I, have to have compassion. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking all the time. We're talking about operating in the Father's will. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus spoke this thing. Why is he speaking this? The Father's will is for us. He says, judge not that you be not judged. For with this, what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. He said, and why shouldest thou, why beholdest thou the mote in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam in thy own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy eye. Jesus saying now to us, don't run around pointing your finger at people with a judgmental attitude. Then you have four fingers pointing back at you. Have you examined your own heart? Have you looked at yourself and see what's in your heart? The condemnation that's in your heart? First, go before the Father and ask for repentance, forgiveness. Get yourself fixed first. Hallelujah. Then you'll be able to help your brother. We'll be able to help our brothers and sisters to walk on that straight and narrow path. We puddle everybody's faults. But we fill for. We fill. We're overflowing with faults. Here in the book of John, St. John, chapter 15. He gives you an example. If he would do it for us, why can't we do it for them? If we're going to operate in the Father's will, we have to be willing to give self. He said if you're going to follow him, you have to deny yourself. Take up your cross daily. Daily. So he says here in John chapter 15, greater, verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is how you know you truly got a friend. Apostle was saying last week that Apostle Millie had to went through some type of surgery or something, and she's doing well. But she well get up the hospital well, and she heard that Apostle may have to go through and have some surgery on her knees or something else. And she tell the apostle, if you need me, I would come over there and I would take care of you. She's willing to go. Why? Because if she needed an apostle to come over to her to take care of her, an apostle would go over there and take care of her. I heard her say it before. This is how you know that you operate in that vein. How you know that you operate in the will of God. You know, the first thing that you do is you don't allow people to enter into your. You don't allow people to enter into your mindset. You don't allow them to do that, because if you allow them to do that, you will miss what God wants to do through you. Understand? You'll miss what He wants to do through you. I know this is not a jumper message, but this is a teaching message to let people know that if you really want to operate in the will of God, you have to give self. You can't still have self. Self cannot be in operation, full operation, and you do the will of God. Because you got to get self out of the way. Self has to get out of the way. Then God will enter in. See, Asa, God had to send the prophet. He had to send the prophet to him. He was operating below the standard what God wants. He wasn't a bad man, but he was allowing a lot of stuff to go on in the cities. Even his mama was worshiping idolatrous worship, performing idolatrous worship, worshiping a statue. You understand? They wasn't worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God had to send a prophet to talk to him so his eyes could be opened, the light could be turned on so he could see clearly. And the Bible said because he began to honor the will of God, there was no wars for 35 years. He had to face no battles for 35 years. Could you imagine how it would be for us if we adhere to what God is saying to us, to live according to His will, to allow Him to perfect us, how it would be for us? That's difficult because so many people. He says, you are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. If you honor my word, if you obey what I'm saying to you, he says, you are my friends. He said, from henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servants know not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. When we begin to walk according to God's word, He don't see us as servants. He sees us as friends, children, sons and daughters. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Hallelujah. He tells you, if the world hits you, you know that it hit me before it hit you. In other words, Jesus says, don't be surprised. If the world hits you, understand, it hits your master first. How you know? You look at Calvary. They strung him up on a tree, on a cross, for our sins. Sins that he didn't commit. So it would hurt you. Go to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Colossians chapter 1, and hallelujah. What's this? Verses. This is so powerful here, but oh my God, I just pulled up a couple of verses here and this here. But you can read this book. This book is powerful, man. I know Apostle says she loved the book of Colossians, but here I just pulled up a couple of verses here. He says to us, verse 21, "And you that were sometimes alienated from and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Now listen, God had redeemed us out of sin. Brought us out of sin, out of darkness into his light. He said, "In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Listen to what God has done. Jesus brought us into his death, the death of through his flesh. Brought us in his flesh through death to present us holy, unblameable, unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." Says you've got to stay connected in the word. You've got to stay grounded, rooted and grounded in the word. Don't move. Hallelujah. Don't care what go on. If a life is taken, you still continue. Hallelujah. He says, "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church." See, Paul said he filled even the afflictions of Christ in his flesh for the body's sake. This is the church. He said, "Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation," according to the time that he was in, "of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints." He's talking now about the power of the Holy Ghost, Jesus living inside of us in the spirit form, to whom God was made known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the Holy Spirit living on the inside, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. We must be mature in Christ. "Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily." Paul said this thing, he's carrying this thing, and he's carrying it with all power and authority. In Romans chapter 12 and 2, these powerful scriptures, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." 1 Peter 2 and 15. "For this is the will of God, that by doing good you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. See, you have to live. Everything that you have to do, that you're doing, must be different to the world. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, to declare the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. This is the will of God. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 10. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, there's obedience in heaven. There's peace in heaven. There's joy in heaven. There's no sin in heaven. Hallelujah. So all this God wants to have done here on earth. First Chronicles 16:11. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his presence continually. This is how you know you can operate in the will of the Father, where you continue to seek him. Don't delay. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the will of God. If we confess, God is willing to forgive our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. 1 John 2:17. And the world is passing away with its desires. But whosoever does the will of God abides forever. See, your flesh is going to leave this world. But your soul has to go someplace. Either heaven or hell. So he said it will abide forever if you do the will of God. It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. 1 Peter 3:17. 1 Peter 4:19. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Listen, we got to make up in our mind that we're going to live for Christ and we're going to die for Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is the will of God. You want to know the will of God? Stay away from sin. People say, what is the will of God? Be obedient to God. Obey his commands. Follow his instructions. You want to know the will of God? Follow his instructions. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4. Who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth? This is God's will. God wants everybody. Is that his desire that any should perish? He wants everybody, all mankind, to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Know the word of God. This is the truth. There's only one truth in the earth, and that's the Bible, the word of God. He said, let any man be a liar and God be true. He said, the Lord, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all shall reach or come to repentance. 2 Peter 3:9. Ephesians 2:10. For we are the workmanship. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has already made it, written, had this commandment penned down, how he wants us to live, how he wants us to treat each other. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Hebrews 10:36. You need endurance in order to continue. You need endurance to finish the race. The race is not easy. It is a fight. It's a struggle. But As we always say, the way is attainable. With the help of the Holy Spirit, God knew that we could not keep doing this thing on our own. He knew that we could not complete it on our own. This is why he says, it's expedient that I go to the Father. He said, but when I go, I will not leave you comfortless. When I go, I will send the Comforter. And when he comes, he'll bring all things to your remembrance. Everything that he has told us, everything in the word, he'll bring back to our, he'll bring to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is here to help us to fulfill the will of God in our life, in our ministry, in the people that we come in contact with. Hebrews 4 and 12. The word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Isaiah 41 and 10. All of this pertaining to the will of God. Fear not, Isaiah 41 and 10, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. This is God speaking. James chapter 1 and 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Ask God what you need. If you find it hard or difficult to do what God called you to do, ask God. Say, God, I need strength. Lord, sometimes I get angry. Lord, help me in this area of my life. Lord, sometimes I say too much more than I should really say. Lord, help me to slow down. Help me to curb my preaching. James 4 and 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. A lot of times we are so boastful, we don't even bring God in our life. We say, I'll see you tomorrow, Bishop. I'll see you tomorrow. We don't say, if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet again tomorrow. If it's the Lord's will, I'm going to work. If the Lord's will, I will go to the doctor's office. If it's the Lord's will, I will help my brother and sister. We don't see it. We always think that we got control of everything. He said, instead of the way you talk, you ought to say, if the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. John 16 and 33 says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. He says, depend on him, trust on him, rely on him. You're going to go through some things, but when you operate in the will of God, you're going to come out successful. You're going to come out at the top of the line. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the will of God. For whoever call upon the name of Jesus Christ, verse 6 every day. John 6:40. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. This is the will of the Father. John 7 and 17. If anyone's will is to do the God's will, he will know whether the teaching is from God or whether I am speaking on my own authority. See, when you operate, when we operate in the anointing, when we operate in the will of God, people know. They can tell that we operate. It's not because, it's not because you're hooping and hollering. When you're teaching and preaching under the anointing, people know. You're not just saying same words to some words. You're not just reading the Bible. You're flowing in the anointing. You desire to do the will of God. So God is there. Joshua chapter 1 and 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You got to know this. He's with us. Even on the operating table, I thank God. I received that word. That when I'm laying on that table, I'm trusting in God to lead the cardiologist hand to see that thing up through my arm and around my shoulder. And if they're going to put a stent in, put the stent in. And don't burst my heart. He says, Luke 22 and 42 says, saying, Father, if you are willing, it's the will of God, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours. Your will be done. This is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he's getting ready to be crucified. He didn't want to go. He felt like you and I. Well, felt like me. I don't want to go to the surgery. This test. I don't really want to go. But I have to say, not my will, but God's will be done. Hallelujah. He says, Mark chapter 3 and verse 35, for whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and my sister and mother. You see, they begin to talk to Jesus about his mother at the foot of the cross. He said, who is my brother? Who is my sister? Whoever does the will of God. If you are doing the will of God, you are the brother or sister of Christ. Hallelujah. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. He has told you, oh man, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice? This is God's will for us to operate in justice. Justice for all men, regardless of what color, class, or creed, or country. And to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. We got to become humble. We want to be exalted, but we have no humility. Hallelujah. The Bible says you humble yourself, he'll exalt you in due season. It's the Psalm 119:105. Well, let's go to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He will. So you're walking upright before him. No good thing will he withhold from us. But we got to walk. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 143:10. Teach me to know your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on a level ground. Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Romans 12:1. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Romans 5:8. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. All this is the will of God. Romans 8:27. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. The Spirit intercedes. for the saints. Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. For those who are called according to his purpose. Zephaniah 3:13. The Lord God is in your midst. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Isn't that something? That the Lord will rejoice over us. He rejoiced over us. And the Lord sing over us. It's here in the book. It's here in Zephaniah 3:17. He sings aloud over us. Seeing that we worship and we praise him and we honor him, God sings. He rejoices in who we are. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is a word that you need to really look into. Looking at it for yourself. It's all in the word. I didn't give you anything of myself. I give you tons of scriptures of what God say. It's all in the word. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this word that you have given us today. And, O God, we pray that, God, that we have said something. Something has gone over the airwaves that make a difference in the hearts and minds of your people. Father, I ask you to bless me now, Lord, with your strength. Bless me with your understanding and your love, your compassion for your people, O God, that I continue to be more like you and less like myself, O God. I only desire, God, is to honor you, give you glory by my lifestyle, O God. And Father, as I do this, Lord, I ask you, God, to add to this Blog Talk Radio church line. Add people, bring more people, O God, and let them be hungry and thirsty for the word, Lord. Not just the ones that come to critique and all that stuff, Lord God. But bring the ones that say that will add to what we are doing. Oh God, know that they have something to add to it. That they'll not be embarrassed or shut up from saying something. They allow the enemy to stop them from talking, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you bring those people that is not afraid to give you glory. Because when we testify, God, we are giving you glory. We honor you right now and we praise you, O God, for this word that's gone forth. Lord, we ask for more offerings to come in, Lord, so that we can do more. We can do more. People are hungry and they need help. And, Father, we are your help. We are not buying any suits or doing anything. Lord, I ask you to send some work. I need some jobs to come, Lord, so we can make some money to help the poor. Lord, we know at this time that the nations are going through. And we know that Africa is suffering even, and India is suffering even worse than we are suffering here. We're suffering here too. We're not pushing up and saying, but we're not complaining because we know you're taking care of us. But we are easier to, we can get things here much easier than they can get it. So, but Lord, we ask you to bless us with work. Lord, you have given us the skill. And we ask you to give us the work. If you give us the work, Lord, and we can make the money, we will take care of those people. We will take care of the needy, Lord. We'll do just what you say. Now, Father, we pray for Bishop James as he comes to thank God for Apostle Linda Washington. She had some appointments she had to do today. And we thank God for her always ready to come at a moment's notice. We thank God for her, Lord. We ask for traveling mercy. However she's traveling, give her traveling mercy. Let her accomplish all that she about to accomplish today by the Spirit, O God. And we thank you now. Thank you for Brother Deacon Fraser. He's always faithful to come on and serve you. In Jesus' holy name. Come on in, Bishop, if you are able, available. Come on and do a prayer of salvation.
I can do it again. You did it for me just now. Praise God.
Yeah, I was.
Yes, Lord. Praise his holy name. Now, Father, all those who heard the word of God today, think back. I went all the way back to House of Gale when you said about, I forgot the king's name. You know, he was all about himself. You know, this is mine, you know. I'm the idol. But, you know, I had a friend who ended up being a relative in a sense because he married my cousin. But I met him when I was 8 years old. He and I were both 8 years old when I first met him. And we were friends all that time. And he got married to my cousin. And both of them are gone now. They both are deceased, but they have children and great-grandchildren. They would have if they, you know, lived to see him. But anyway, he was worried. He was at the hospital, and he was worried about his car. And his brother went to see him. He says, is my car all right, man? Yeah. Been keeping it up. He said, man, you laying in this hospital, don't know if you're going to die or not. You're worrying about a car. It's only a car, man. You know, he had to talk him down because he idolized that car. But it's his sister gave him an old car she had, and it was the first thing that he bought for himself. And he hadn't had a car all those years when we were growing up. You know, I started off with the car. I think I was like 19 or something like that, 19 years old. Yeah, I was in the service. I was 19 when I got the first one. But he didn't have one. When I came back home in 67, he had finally got that old car from his sister. That was the first car he owned, and then he ended up buying him another one. And he was so, so happy, you know. He had a car, and he just idolized that car. And people just do that. And for whatever reason, I don't know, maybe it was like him. He never had things like that in his life. You know? All the rest of the gang we used to be with, you know, I say gang, we weren't a gang, but, you know, our little buddies around the neighborhood, we all had cars. Eventually, and he was the last one to get a car, so he just idolized that car, you know. And his brother had to talk him out of it. He said, man, you could die, and you weren't about a car, you know. He said, come on, man. And he was the younger brother, telling the older brother, hey, don't worry about it, you know. And he was like that, you know. But he never had a lot when we were coming up. He didn't have a lot, you know? And when he started getting things, he just, you know, he was always worried about it. And clothes and car, and, you know, he wanted the nice everything. Everybody wants nice stuff. But you have to think about, you know, living your life and living for God. So I say all that to say, be careful. Be careful you don't turn something that you like into an idol and forget about the Lord God Almighty. Because nothing, no car, no house, clothes, nothing, no one can get you to heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ. Him today, if you've never accepted him as your Lord and Savior. And like I said, I think it was the day before yesterday when I said that I had backslidden and didn't even realize that I had backslidden. And Apostle Linda told me, she said, you know what you did? You're worrying about this, and it's just backsliding. And I had to ask for forgiveness. And I rededicated my life to Christ. And I said, I will never do this again. Please help me, Father, because I don't want to cross over and be out of God's good graces. You know, and I strongly suggest that you do. Do accept him as your Lord and Savior on this day. Don't wait until, the altar call on Sunday come in. You know, don't wait to do it then. You may not be there. You may not be here tomorrow. Accept Jesus today. Accept him as your Lord and Savior. And in the event that you do cross over, you're going to be in a better place, you know, and make sure you go to the correct place. And the only way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. Just don't idolize, only love Jesus. And what we're supposed to do, obey, obey, obey. And if you repent of everything that you've done wrong, clear your conscience, everything that you think that you did wrong, repent and do not return to that, whatever it is. Whatever sins or sins you have committed, don't return to them. Accept Jesus as your Savior today. And he's standing there waiting for you to say, Jesus, I believe in you. You know, and the word of God says that the word is near you. It's in your mouth. It's in the book of Romans. Where confession is made. And the word of God says, the word is near you. It's in your mouth, which means you must speak it. And you don't have to speak it just a bit above a whisper in order that the enemy may hear that you are leaving his camp. You are now in the camp of the Lord Jesus Christ. You're on the winning team, the forever bowl champions. You know, we're always going to be the champion team if we follow Jesus Christ. It's a game we can't lose if we have the perfect coach, the perfect owner. You know, everything he does is perfect. We don't want to go with the devil. The devil convinced 1/3 of the angels to go with him. How sad. And right now, they're all facing eternal damnation forever. Yeah, they'll never get out of that. And just to be separated from Christ is the worst thing that we could ever do. And then to burn in hell is horrible, horrible suffering, gnashing teeth, you know, whatever torture there is in hell. It's not as torturing as it is to know that you have lost Jesus Christ as your Savior. The loss of the Lord. Don't do it. Don't do it to yourself. Don't do it to your family. Love God always. And don't idolize material things, because all these things we have here on earth, they're just temporal. They're going to be gone. They're going to rust, rot, fall to pieces, because they can't last forever. But your damnation will last forever. And you don't want to be damned. You want to go to heaven. I urge you on this day, receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And the word of God also says, if you believe that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of the Lord God Almighty, who sent him here to save the world, not to condemn it, but to save it. If you believe that Jesus suffered on Calvary, he died, suffered on the whipping post, walked to Calvary, carrying a heavy, heavy cross up to a hill called Golgotha, the skull, to be tortured, crucified, and died for our sins and iniquities. Don't have Jesus suffering and dying in vain. Don't do it. Because you're going to hurt Jesus, but you're going to hurt yourself even worse. Accept him as your Savior today. And if you believe that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's in the word of God. Bishop didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. Read it for yourself. Book of Romans, chapter 10, verses 8 through 10. Okay? Read it for yourself. Now, the next step is to be baptized. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 38 through 41, Peter said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and it will be well with you and your family if you do so. And all who are afar off, who are called by the Lord, you know, it would be more than worth it. There's still nothing better than to be with God Almighty Himself. Yeah. So accept Jesus as your Savior. Ask your pastor to baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if they won't do it, a lot of people, you know, said, no, and I know you're baptized because you were baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But those are titles. The only name mentioned, not title, the only name mentioned in the Bible is Jesus Christ. Read it for yourself. Acts chapter 4, verses 10 to 12. Read it for yourself. Like I said, I didn't write this Bible. You know, I just follow it. Follow its lead. Hallelujah. Now, God bless you. Invite people to your baptism. And by the way, if you invite someone to your baptism, or you let someone know that you're going to be baptized, and you can lead them to salvation also. You don't have to have a title. Your title is ambassador to Christ. You know, you're now a follower of Christ, and you can lead other people to Christ Jesus. It doesn't have to be a bishop or an apostle or a pastor or elder in the church. It doesn't have to have a title of the church. You don't have to have that title. You are a son or a daughter of Christ now, and you're an ambassador. You represent Christ Jesus. Lead as many people as you can to salvation, and you will be richly rewarded. You will have jewel for everybody who has accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. You have a jewel in your crown. Earn your jewel. Stick with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only way. As a matter of fact, he is called the way, and he is the only way. Now, Apostle, it's back to you. God bless each
Thank
and everyone
so
who came on the line
welcome.
Today. You're welcome, Apostle. It's my pleasure.
Thank you so much for that prayer, Salvation. The line is open. If anyone wants to come on in and respond, if you have a prayer, song, or dance, something you want to say to the Lord, whatever, you can come on in. Well, Brother Bishop, ain't nobody, people on the line, nobody saying anything. You can go ahead and pray us out. Let us go home.
Okay. All right. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless in the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory, honor, praise, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen, amen, and amen. We'll talk to you later on, Apostle. In Jesus'
yes,
name.
Yes,
thank
you, thank you
everyone.
So much. You
bless
the name of the Lord Jesus for you and for Apostle. And keep me in your prayer. Keep me in your prayer. Okay?
Yes.
Keep me in your prayer. I trust in the Lord. But this test, I trust the Lord, you know, because it's a serious test. And I know the last time that I had that test, and people, they couldn't get the thing in my arm. So I have to pray. And as I was reading them scripture this morning, the Lord, he just let me know that he will be with me. You know, I got to trust him. You know, it's not a doctor. It's him that
the Lord.
I have to trust.
Yes,
and he wants me to know what's going. He wants me to know what's going on in my heart. He wants me to know what's going on in my liver, my kidneys, my lungs. He wants me to know. I'm not a doctor. The doctors he gives that knowledge to, so I have to go to them, and they will tell me what's going on, and then I know how to pray. You know,
yes,
I know how to pray. So I have to go But we believe that all is going to be well. We believe all is going to be well.
And I got a message. I got a message from the VA. I have to call them and make an appointment for the results, I guess, of the stress test that they gave me. Or they found something that they didn't like, and they called me and told me to make another appointment. So I have to call them. And Apostle got a call today. She's got to go tomorrow for some paperwork she's got to do about a surgery or something, pre-op or something. Mm. Got to go to that tomorrow. So I don't know how long she's going to be. But
it'll be all right. I tell that, boss, I've been using that that krill oil capsules.
Oh, yeah, the fish.
And
I have no
pain, no more pain in my knees, no more pain. I tell you, it's the best thing on the market. I don't care what nobody talk about. I've used a lot of different things. After I've been using that stuff for about a week, no more pain.
That's the fish oil, the krill.
Yeah, the fish. It's a fish oil, but it's like krill. It's called krill oil.
Yes.
And it's the best thing out there in the market.
I got the capsules.
I use the capsules too. I got the capsules.
Okay, and yeah, there is the oil you can apply also to your joints and whatever.
That goes straight to your joints. And you get the information off your joints. That's where they use the capsules. I pop a couple of those, and I tell you something. I mean, after a week of using them, I noticed the difference in my knee because I went out one day to do a job, and I couldn't find my knee pads in park. Bishop, the knee pad was in the truck, and I took a lot of stuff out of the truck, and I kept telling myself, man, maybe I put them in the garage because I got a lot of tools in the garage. Man, I had to kneel down in the basement, and I didn't have the pad, so I kneeled down on that concrete. And usually when I kneel down on that concrete, it tells me as soon as I get up, I don't feel nothing when I'm down. But when I get up, it tells me I didn't feel nothing, no kind of pain. I told my wife, I said, man, I kneel on. She said, you didn't have the knee pad. I said, after I finished the job, I ain't looking through the truck. The knee pad was in the top of our truck. I said, God, but thank God I had no pain, no pain.
Show the power of God, huh?
Yep, I got 3 months supplies of that krill oil, that krill capsules. I got 3 months supply.
Well, I've been taking them. I didn't know you could open it up and rub with it, you know.
Yeah, you can use it on rub it on your knee too, but I don't rub it on my knee. I just take them two capsules, or one, how much it says. I just drink a little water and let it go inside.
Wow. That's great. Try that. I got knees hurting me and my shoulders and stuff, and the stuff that they gave me.
You got to use it, you got to be consistent, though. You can't use it today and not tomorrow. You got to use it every day. Just take a capsule. I think mine's the one or two capsules, I can't remember. But just take whatever it says on the box, on the bottle. And that thing, it works also for your heart. It also works for your heart. You know?
Oh, great.
So I take it every day. I really ain't getting no pain in my heart, Bishop. I ain't getting no pain. But the doctor said he wants to go. I know what it is because I told my wife, I said, this is big money. It's a money-making thing, see? Once he put that thing, he going to charge the insurance. The last time he charged it was $6,000. Yeah, he charged it with $6,000, but they didn't give him that money. He had a big old bill. And then when we got a bill from the insurance company, they said we didn't have to pay nothing.
When you're in the hospital, every doctor that comes to see you, and when I was in the hospital once when I had a heart attack, and there were about 5 student doctors. Don't you know they sent me a bill for every student that came in there? It was it was all booked up, you know, on, I see, oh, this is ridiculous. But the VA paid it, it's ridiculous. You know, and one cardiologist and about five students, and they had to pay them for every student that was there, you know. Now, I wonder who got all that money. I'm sure it wasn't the students. Hey. Well, let me get to going here, get stuff done now.
Yeah, well, I would talk to you later, Bishop. I'm going to go get me some hot tea now, and I'm going to lay across this bed here till I have to pick up my granddaughter.
And I want to ask you something. Can I put like artificial sweetener in tea and whatnot?
Yeah, you can put artificial sweetener. just a little honey, not too much honey, because when you're dealing with high blood pressure stuff like that, can't use, because honey is really sugar. Honey is sugar.
Yeah.
You know, so you don't want to use a lot of honey, because it's just like if you're using sugar.
Yeah, honey and syrup also.
You know, all of them are sugar. Use a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah.
I use a teaspoon, you know.
Well, I used to drink coffee when the Apostle and I first met. I was drinking coffee just black. You know, nothing, put no sugar, no milk, nothing in it. And she said, how can you do that? I said, very easy. Just turn a cup up and drink it, you know. But I had acquired a taste for it, you know. But I like my coffee, you know. And she said, oh, you can't put any sugar in there. The Apostle said no sugar. I said, okay. Now that I know that I could put a little artificial one, I may even try it. Well, it didn't hurt me. I'm not in love with it that she thinks that I, you know, I just got to have it. But it's something that I made a habit of doing for many years, and I stopped drinking coffee for about 2 or 3 years. And I just started drinking tea, you know, different herbal teas and stuff. And that, see that dandelion tea you sent me? I didn't know it was going to hit me like it did. Oh, did it ever
that, see
me?
That dandelion is good. It's good.
Oh, yeah.
It's strong. You want to eat something with it because it fights.
Yep.
It fight cancer.
No,
they fight cancer. All forms of cancer.
I tell you, I didn't know, Apostle. I got up in the morning. I said, well, let me try some of this tea. One little tiny tea bag. And I drank that. And an hour later, I couldn't get up. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, Jesus. No, what I done here. it really cleaned me out. No, it cleaned me, gut me out.
Yeah. It does. It cleans you up. It cleans your colon, you know, and it cleans your blood. I had the tea bags, but I got like a two pound bag of powder, and I just put a teaspoon or a tablespoon in my tea, and then I put it. Yeah. I mix rosemary and dandelion together. I make a tea. Those, and both of them work on the heart and the liver and the kidneys, clean the kidneys and the liver too. So if you go to your backyard, you probably got some growing in your backyard. It grows everywhere. But dandelion grows everywhere. Out of your front yard, backyard, it got a little yellow flower. A little yellow flower. You see a little thing called a little green stem.
I
should pick them back in the country. Man, grow everywhere. I got them come from my backyard here in the front yard. They grow, but I bought that 2 pounds from two. It's cheap, man. Cheap. I bought 2 pounds from Amazon, I got the rosemary. I got rosemary growing outside in the back too.
I found rosemary back there. I used to go to Subway and get sandwiches sometimes, and I love rosemary bread. What kind of bread you want? I say rosemary. The lady said, "Ooh, who gets that?"
I said, me? She said, you ain't good.
It's good for everything.
Yes.
It's,
but
it's,
I just
it's
like
good for everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let me see what folks is doing around here now.
All right. The apostle got back home?
Well, I'm out.
Did the apostle get back home?
Yeah. She just got back.
Yeah, I saw Evangelist Brown. She came on today. And Minister Jones was Mr. Jones was okay. I haven't heard anything how Pastor Brown is doing. But I guess he's doing good, because if he was, something was going on, she would let us know. But I guess he's doing all right. You know, praise God.
He's doing good.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Thank God for
the everybody over here. Everybody was praying.
Everybody was praying.
He gave us the 911, so we all went to praying for him.
We couldn't pray for him.
We were praying for you, so we were praying for you.
That's right. Thank God. Thank you,
and,
Jesus. That's it.
You all in prayer.
Thank you.
It's a funny thing. Most people, you say pray for somebody, and you pray for that person.
Yeah.
But how about praying for the caregiver? You know, because the caregiver
is going
through an exit too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, caregiver.
All right now.
Yeah, there it is.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Yes,
praying for you,
Lord.
Too, man. Because I tell you what, I was going. I was going 4 or 5 times, and we found out what it was. I was actually overdosing on the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You see, I had lost weight, and they didn't tell me cut back.
Yeah.
When I went to my primary provider, when the nurse weighed me in, he said, "Oh man, he said you lost weight. He said you lost 22 pounds." So he told her. And she said, "Oh, that's why all these reads are coming in like they're coming in. No, wait, we got to do something about this, you know." So it's been working pretty good lately. Pretty good. Thank God for that. As a matter of fact, I got to take some medicine right now. They told me how to spread it out.
Thank you, Lord. I usually dump
everything at one time. You know?
Mm.
Say, well, get it over with. Dump everything at one time. That wasn't the way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, when you're greedy for everything, you know, I mean, I have to be greedy for medicine. I just don't like to take it straight out like that.
Hey,
guys,
spread it out, brother. Break this up.
Yeah.
You got to spread it out.
Well, praise the Lord. We're all here. We're all blessed.
Let us know when your pastor brother is coming back on.
Okay, we're going to let you know. All right. It might just be a short thing tomorrow. I don't know. Okay, we'll let you know.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye. Take us tomorrow.
All right. Evangelist?
Yes?
Let us know when you and Pastor Brown is coming back on the air.
Okay.
When you're all coming on with your Monday night service, okay?
Okay, I'll let you know.
And Evangelist sent me another message, and so I still waited to hear the final one. That she's saying that it should be this. She said it should be today, and I hear that. I hear that today yet. And I hear President Trump saying that this thing is coming too. President Trump talking about it. So I said, "Well, this thing is going to happen. It's going to happen."
Amen.
So. I'm looking forward to it, though.
I know that's right. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
I can do a whole lot more.
A whole lot more. I know that's right.
A whole lot more.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mm. Yes, Lord.
You know, so many people call us for help, you know, and you know, you can't help everybody because you only have so much money, you know.
That's right.
And I have a lot of people when I get a couple of jobs, but if I don't get no job, I can't help people because not a lot of people give me, you know. And I just had to pay for somebody, you know, bills and rent and all that kind of stuff, you know. You know, so, but got to work it out. So I believe this thing coming. They say that it's
thank
coming.
You, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes,
she
Lord.
Sent me another message. They said, well, you said, Apostle, you should be getting a call pretty soon. I said, well, you know, I'm waiting. I'm listening.
I know that's right.
My phone fully charged. My phone don't ever run down. I keep my phone fully charged. You know, they can't say I missed the call. I ain't going to miss the call.
I know it. That's good. Yeah, I'm waiting for it. Yeah. Amen. How's Sister Nancy doing, Apostle?
She's doing fine. She just called. She worked a couple of hours on Monday and on Thursday.
That's good.
So she just got back in here from work, you know.
Okay.
She's doing fine.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's good. How's your son doing?
Oh, he's doing great. He can't complain. That boy's doing great. I just bought him a truck. I just bought him a 4x4 truck, so he's doing good.
All right.
He got a nice pickup truck. Big one. Not a little one. He got a big pickup truck.
That's all right.
He's happy.
Great job.
I did a job, and I said, well, did a good job. You know, I told my wife, I said, look, put that money in the bank. I know that boy, he going to call pretty soon. I said, put that money in the bank. You know, he just got his debt. That was a while last year when he got home. And I said, well, you know, cause if he don't have his way, he going to go do something. You know how them kids are.
Mm-hmm.
Going to act simple, going on the street. So he got a good job. So I said, well, you don't want to catch a bus. He been catching a bus and ride his bike. So I said, well, put that damn way. He got his license. I said, they're getting that he can go by a truck.
Mm.
So he really got him a nice truck. I tell that truck nice, man. Really nice.
Praise God.
Fully loaded. You know.
All right.
He's got an extended cab, you know.
Mm.
And he got a big bed. Big bed is a 5-foot bed, not a short one, a big bed.
Mm.
And he's happy.
Amen.
I thank God that I'm able to help him, you know, because I know when he was growing up, I wasn't there for him. I was running the streets, you know. So I try to help he and his wife and my granddaughter as much as I can.
Amen.
You know, the Lord blesses me to make some money. I help him out. I was just praying this morning for the Lord to share some new jobs, you know, so I can get out there. And if the money comes, then I really say I pull back real hard, you know. And I come, the money come, I ain't gonna do too much work. The only work I'm gonna be doing is preaching. Preaching.
All right,
that's the only work I'm gonna be doing. Preaching.
Preaching.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm gonna take a trip over the country. Huh?
Take a trip. Is your church open?
Who?
Your church at your. At where you go? Are they open? The church is open.
All the churches open.
Okay.
Yeah, they. But they know the president here know to make them go back in mass again. They sit in mass, don't help nobody, but they want you to go back in mass.
Yeah.
And I think that what you got to do is just stay yourself away from people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, distance yourself from.
Yep, people do what they want. That's right. Go and they come.
I don't really want to be too much. God, they're killing you too much up there. So much stabbing people and stuff like that, man. And people in Boston, they come up behind you, hit you in your head, and knock you out.
That's right.
Stupid stuff, man. People are doing stuff because they got this stuff. No, it's an initiation.
Sure.
And they're doing initiation, they're getting the gangs. And they may have to stop somebody, or they might have to They may have to knock somebody out, and they hit you in the back of your head with a stick.
Yeah.
And they keep on walking.
Keep on walking.
All that stuff, bro.
Yeah.
I don't understand the world. The world is going so crazy, man. You know, this president here was supposed to unite the country, but he divided the country even more. More division. The country is too divided. And it's getting harder and harder and harder for the people. I mean, not for me. And I thank God that I'm blessed, highly favored. But, you know, a lot of people, they have nothing to eat, you know. I had a lady call me, sent me a message yesterday. She says, you see, the pastor, I'm trying to get in touch with you. I need help. She said, I need help. You know. I know she needs food. You know.
I'm
praising God because we have more than enough. We have more than enough. I'm thanking God. You know, I serve the God as a God of more than enough.
That's right.
And he told me if I walk upright before him, no good thing would he withhold.
No good thing would he hold. That's what he said.
I hold him to his word. I hold him to his
word.
Thank
God. Praise God.
Yeah. I know you're going to send us this money too. Evangelist, we're going to get this money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these people ain't going to steal all the money. They can only steal so much. They can't steal all the money. God's going to hold them accountable. We're going to get that money.
Yep. Straight to Wells Fargo Bank.
Yeah. I was surprised because she told me that the bank's already got the notice. She told me the bank, I still got the part. I got the thing. She said the bank's got the notice, so it's just a matter of time for they send out the calls and alert us to go to the bank. I got all my stuff there ready to go.
I know that's right. Ready to go. Yep, it's going to come. Bless some people, I tell you.
Yep, bless some people. That's right.
A lot of money to bless some people. People are hurting. They need money. Hungry, sleeping in the street.
Well, they need money so they can get food. Some people need a house.
Yeah.
Some people are sleeping in boxes, cardboard boxes, mud houses. You know.
Mud houses. I know it. The hurricane tore up these places down here. It's sad. It's sad. You can see how people just don't have everything. Tornadoes knocked his house down, smashed right on down.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. It was terrible.
It was terrible.
Look at California. California is the ocean. It's the ocean.
Ocean.
All of them cars, them nice cars on the water, nice trucks on the water, bus on the water, houses on the water.
Yep. Yeah, sad.
But people don't understand, man. All nations, from the president all the way down to the prison, they all need to repent. The whole nation. They need to call for a nationwide, repentance. That's what they need to do. Call for the whole nation.
Yes,
they're trying to take prayer and they want to shut down the church, shut down the Christianity, but they can't survive without Christianity. You hear me? They cannot survive without it. You know, when you reject the Lord, you're going to experience his wrath. California turned the men out into women, turned the women into men. You understand? And you see what's happening to them? They're all drunk.
Yeah.
They're drowning. And when they're not drowning, they're shooting one another. You see the man going to have them terrorists coming from Mexico and going there and kill all them people, even shot the
kill
baby in the head. Kill the baby. Live 6-month-old baby. You know that's the devil. Kill the mother, 18-year-old mother. Kill the grandmother. Kill the grandfather. Kill the other men, two men in the house. You know. This is because they too much sin.
Yeah.
Too much sin.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
There's too much sin, and they don't want to repent. They don't want to repent.
My God, my God. My God, my God.
Yeah.
My wife was telling me that they had an earthquake here in Boston. I didn't feel it, but she said somebody called and told her that they had an earthquake in their area. It didn't take nobody's life, but you know, they're gonna hit all over the place. Earthquake and tornadoes and hurricanes, everything.
That's
because
right.
The people
that's
are
right.
wicked. There's too much wickedness. And they don't, they say, oh, we got money, we got this, we got that. They don't want to repent. And they think they can build a bunker and go down underneath the ground and build a big bunker and they can hide from God. You can't hide from God. Don't care if you go down to hell, you can't hide from it. If you go in the ocean deep, you can't hide from it. Underneath the mountain, you can't hide from it. In a volcano, you can't hide from it. You can't hide from God. God can get you wherever you go. So these folks think that they got it all together. They can hide from God. No, no, no. God said, no, you can't hide. I got you. I got your picture. I see what you've done. I know your name.
That's right.
As he said,
that's right. You can't hide.
With these
hiding
to do
places
repent.
Over. Yeah, repent.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. Thank you, God.
My
what a God we serve.
My God, my God.
2023, Apostle. 2023. We're still here in Jesus' name. My God.
My God.
Yep.
Here we are.
Still here.
Still here. We are still here.
That's right, Dick. Still here, Dick.
Trust in God. Trust in God.
Yeah.
Trust
in God. Trust in God.
Trust in the Lord. Trust in Jesus. That's right.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, it's praying time.
Yeah.
My God, my God. Jesus, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I got to go on this. I'm going in on Tuesday. I'm having some work done on my heart. They're going to be checking my heart.
What's wrong with your heart? Is it okay?
It's okay, but they say they put that stuff up your arm in the camera so they can see your heart.
Okay,
so
it's a cat or your cat. It's a cat they're going to do? That's what I had, too, a cat?
Yeah.
I had one of them.
You had that, too?
Yeah, because I had, chest pain before last year, and I had a nice heart doctor. He put it through my arm, and he could look at your heart and your veins and everything.
I had it done in 2017.
You had them before?
I had it done in 2017, but I had a blockage behind my heart. The blockage I had was a vein behind my heart, and they couldn't get to it, so they had to put me on medication. So a couple of weeks ago, last year in December, November, I started getting some pains, some chest pains, on the left side. So
left
when I
side,
saw
yeah.
the doctor, I told him, I said, well, he said, I said, well, I thought I was getting some chest pain, but now I had the x-rays and all that stuff. And I said, since I had the x-rays and went on the treadmill for the stress test, I haven't had no more pains.
Okay.
So they took a picture of my heart and everything. He said, well, I think we should do another whatever you call that thing. He said
I want to put the cardiogram.
Put the camera inside you and look at your heart and see what.
Yep, look at your heart. Yep.
So I said okay. So I got to go on Tuesday. On Tuesday, and he'll do that.
Are they going to put you to sleep or
Lord,
give you local? They gonna give you local?
No, I didn't go to sleep. Last time he gave me some stuff that I didn't feel no pain.
Make you drowsy.
But I could look on the camera and see my heart.
Yeah, good. And you can be aware they could talk. That's good.
I was looking on the screen and see my
heart.
I could see where the blockage was.
Wow. So they think you have a blockage back there still?
He said it probably could be, but he wants to take a look. He can't say sure because when the X-ray didn't show it, but he said there's some changes, or he said there was some changes. He wants to look and see what happens.
5 years ago, you know. Yeah. You ain't going nowhere. God got work for you to do.
No, I'm going to check on everything. When I see my doctor again, I want to get an appointment to go have a colonoscopy. I check on everything. I don't wait till the last minute.
I know that's
and people,
right.
Then people wait till the last minute. Oh, you got colon cancer. Well, no. Check on your stuff. If you got any polyps, they take them out.
Yes, that's right.
They don't turn to cancer.
Yep, they took my polyps out.
Yeah, that's right.
I had mine done last year.
I went a lot of black people die. You know, a lot of black people die. That's I went to what's his name? I can't remember his name. It was a comedian. He died with colon cancer. Hey, you got all that money. Make it all that. Burn him out. You know, how you gonna die with colon cancer? You got millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, you're too busy to go get a checkup, man. Go get a checkup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
You know.
Yeah, that is true.
I go to sleep for half an hour or so. You go to sleep for half an hour, day you wake up, and they tell everything is done. The hardest thing is colonoscopy that you got to keep. They give that medicine that you got to keep going to the bathroom all the time. That's the worst thing. But apart from that, man, colonoscopy now is a piece of cake.
It is. You feel better. I know that. I know I feel better.
Yep.
Yeah, he had a nice doctor.
He had one a couple of years ago. He had about 4 or 5 polyps. Yeah, he was glad that he went and had thing done.
Yeah.
I know, that's right. They take them out. Yeah, take care of your body. I'm going to try the machine. He said, see Ms. Brown in 10 years.
once you get that thing out, they check you out. And
that's right.
You feel good. You feel good knowing you ain't got no polyps. Man,
that's
right. It's a good feeling.
Thank you, Jesus. Bless your name, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, we got to check on your body, your heart, and your stuff, and that's right.
You're fine.
So you got to go Tuesday and get it done, Pastor?
Yeah, Tuesday morning I got to go there. I got to leave here at 6:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're praying
early
for you.
In the morning.
Thank you, Lord.
I should be back home. It's Turn Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I know that's right.
God is good.
You're faithful to God. He's faithful to you.
Okay.
This is Nancy.
Yep.
She's
yep.
not
praise
worried
God.
About it. Yeah, praise God.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. That's right. We got to take care of our
She's going to be right there with me.
Yeah.
My baby's going to be right there with me.
She's going to be right there. Of course. What, 40-something years you ought to have been together? 40-something?
That's right.
She's going to be right there.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mother, when you stay, it will be
We got to check on our body, Pastor. People don't like to go to the hospital.
That's right.
That's right.
You got to check. You got to watch it. Take
you see that black man, that young boy died there in Georgia, Alabama. He was on, I saw him in 2014, he was on American Idol.
American Idol. Yeah,
he was a runner-up on American Idol. I think he was number six on American Idol. And he died with a heart attack. 31 years old.
He died 31 years old. You don't die old no more. He probably was getting
a lot of stingers because the heart just don't go like that. The heart warns you. Your body warns you.
Yeah.
You know, even when you hear people say they had a sudden heart attack, they didn't have no sudden heart attack. They had symptoms.
Yeah.
They had symptoms before the heart really busts up on like that. You get a burning in your chest. You get a burning or you get a tightness in your chest. You get out of breath. And when you see all that stuff happen, if you get out of breath, that means your heart is acting up. If you get a tightening or burning in your chest, your heart is acting up. Man, go get that thing checked out. Why you got to wait till the last minute?
I know it. Remember I told you Pastor Brown had 99% blockage. He got the his primary doctor said, go to the emergency right now.
Wow.
He just went for checkup.
My God.
He said, go to the emergency room right now.
Wow.
99%.
Wow, my God.
Wow.
He could have passed out anything. Yeah. He could have fell out anything for us.
Yeah, he is a miracle. He was a miracle. He's a miracle.
Yep, he got a stent. He got to put a stent in there. Yep, God got him speaking. He got a stent in his heart right now, but he works out. He goes exercise and everything. He goes, he works out five days a week down here.
That's right.
Yep.
He's living with it. He's
what
a
I'm
miracle.
Saying how God just takes miracle care of us like Pastor said. You know, you get your heart's important, please.
Yeah.
99% blood. Oh, yeah. He could have stumped over there when we was driving.
That pumped that blood. That pumped that blood.
Yeah.
That's your fresh heart.
I said, thank
that pumps
you,
the blood through
you,
your body.
Thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord.
That's right.
And they took him back there. I said, where's my husband? They brought the empty stretcher back. I was getting all scared, Pastor. I said, where's my husband? They said, well, he's in there getting it done. I said, because you brought the empty stretcher back here. When I left out of here, he was on here. He said, now he's on.
You brought an empty stretcher with my husband.
I said, you brought the empty stretcher. You took him out of here. Where's my husband? You brought the empty stretcher back. Where is he? She said, no, he's in recovery. He's doing good. I said, thank you, Jesus. Come on. Yeah, because he had to stay a couple of days overnight. I stayed right there with him. Yep, right in that hospital. Please. That's right. You've got to take care of our bodies, possible, like you said. People get scared.
That's right.
Don't want to go to hospital. I don't want to. Listen, you want to drop dead somewhere? Silly. You better get yourself checked
out. That's right.
They told women about breast cancer. You got to get mammograms. Women got, we got to get mammograms, check on your breast and all that.
That's
people
right.
Understand the important.
They don't want to do nothing.
Yeah, every year. They don't want to do nothing.
And you know, our people, tell the truth, our people of color don't like to do nothing.
Yeah.
Don't like to go get no checkups. I'll tell you.
I know so.
Man,
sure.
My
so
wife,
sad.
She goes, she got colon. She got checked with colon. She got breast checkup. She checked her lungs. Man, everything.
Yep. Yeah. Right.
You got to check.
Smart.
You got to check that stuff, man. You can't
check
wait until
that's it.
Yeah.
That's right.
It'll be too late.
That's right. My God.
You know, people do that stuff just there. And doctor said, well, if you know if he'd have come in yesterday, we could have solved that problem. But it's too late.
That's right. Too late. Because once you leave out of here, that's it. Asking for the body to be present of the Lord, you won't be walking on this side.
That's right.
No more. Take care of your body. Yeah. So we thank the Lord. He's going to come out, Pastor Washington, even Bishop Washington, they're going to be okay. Just got to keep praying.
That's right.
God knows. He made these bodies. He gave it to us. And he wants us to take care of them, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So we thank the Lord that he's God and he's on the throne. A lot of people didn't make 2023. People are still dying. It's so sad. The six-year-old shot that teacher in school. It's awful. What are you doing with a gun?
That's right.
Six-year-old shooting that teacher right in the stomach. She's in critical condition. It's awful.
But you know, his father, it's either his father or his mother, somebody would take him out in the woods and let him learn how to shoot.
That's what I'm saying.
And that wasn't the first
six-year-old
time he took up no gun. You could look, when
that
they showed a picture on him, I saw the picture with him on the YouTube, the way he was holding that gun. You could tell he know how to handle a gun at 6 years old.
My God. Yes, Lord. Say it.
He was holding the gun the correct way to hold a gun. I said, why? How can a six-year-old know how to hold a gun like that?
Yeah,
you know?
6 years old. 6 years old shooting a gun. He didn't like that teacher.
Yeah. God, it wasn't no accident.
Mm-hmm.
That teacher talked to him the way he didn't like, and he decided he was going to kill her.
Yeah. I guess she's still in good critical condition. She didn't die yet, did she?
No, they said she was still fighting for her life.
Mm-hmm.
She over there in Virginia.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. That stuff is just so sad. That's why people got in this don't know. You better get right with God. You better stay right with him.
That's right.
Yeah. So, but thank God. How's your granddaughter? She's getting all those A's and B's parcels?
She did, though. She's getting A plus. She's A plus student. She's on the dean's list. 22.
Your granddaughter's 22?
Yeah, she just celebrated 22.
The granddaughter I met as Bishop.
Yeah, we just sent her out to us. Yeah, we just took out to for birthday dinner last night, yesterday.
Wow,
and,
I cannot believe 22 years old.
And she's working at Target when she's home from school, from college. She works at Target. She's a cashier at Target. They love her over there. She's so smart. Yeah,
I remember
she was just
like
a little baby. And all of a sudden, huh?
She looked like her mother.
Yeah, she looked like her mother.
Yeah.
But she got her mother in the picture, and a locket around her neck. She's
wow.
Cried,
22 years old.
Much.
I can't believe that girl is 22 years old.
Yep.
God Almighty.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it either. So I had to let her.
She got
a
boyfriend.
Yeah, she got a boyfriend now.
You like him?
Yeah, they're both of them. Oh yeah, both of them are very smart.
That's good.
Yeah, he's gonna be some computer engineer. He's very smart. And I tell he got a car and everything. He bought his own car. He works. He works at a place too, like she works. And
that's
he
good.
Bought his own car. And he loved that Samara. He loved him some Samara, boy. Boy, he even go to school. He even go to the college where he home on the weekend. He go to the college to bring her home. And it's good for us because we used to have to go bring her home. And that if she got to go back, now he'll drive her back to college.
He's
home.
That's a blessing.
And he's a very respectful guy. He don't smoke. He don't drink. I ain't never heard him cuss. You know, very respectful.
That's a blessing.
Nice young man.
That's great.
Nice young man.
That is awesome.
He ain't got no whole lot of friends that he running here with all these street people and stuff like
that. Yeah.
When he not working, he home. When he not home, he and Samara going out. They go to dinner. They go to
that's
the park.
Nice.
They go and play putt golf. You know and stuff.
That's good.
And I have to worry about if they're driving somewhere that he gonna get in an accident because he drunk or he got high. No, he don't smoke no reefer. Don't drink no alcohol. No, nothing like that. You know. He's a good kid. I pray that
that's good.
I told him yeah, there. I said, look, you know, if you're already, I can marry you all. You're not in license, I can marry you all. So somebody said, I'm too young to get married. You know, so I just messed with him. I said, look, you know, I can perform the marriage. Anytime you're ready, just go get the license from the courthouse, I'll buy you all. But they're saving their money. They're saving the money. When they're right, they're going to get their own place.
I know,
that's
so awesome.
Oh, they're
that's awesome.
Fine. Yeah, she's a great kid. I am happy for her. I just miss her mother. I wish her mother was here in the physical to see how well she's doing, you know.
Yeah. How long has it been since she's been gone?
She's been gone since 2017.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, I was going to Africa, my second trip to Africa, and she was out of here.
5 years she's been gone?
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter's taking over. Pastor, your mother-in-law is still alive, right?
Yeah, she's 93 years old.
Yeah, I know you said the father
My father-in-law died. He died a few years ago.
She's 93.
Years,
three,
who years.
Takes care of
her? Yeah.
She's
in assisted living.
Oh, okay.
She didn't want to go to the nursing home and she didn't want nobody to take care of her. So
okay.
My
she
wife goes over there.
She
yeah. She asked me. Yeah.
Good.
I didn't go over there yesterday. Samara Samai, my wife, and Samai, we went to yesterday for Samai's birthday, and spent some time with her.
93.
And she said, where's David? So my wife said, tell her that I was doing my program. She said, oh, that's it. Yeah.
Wow.
But
93.
She's shot from 93, you know. I mean, some things
right,
she don't remember. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things she remember, you know. Because you get older, your memory goes. But she remember a lot of stuff, you know. But she got a nice apartment, you know, and she goes, you know. She, you know, take care of herself. But the kids go over and look for her every day. She got three kids. She got two daughters and a son, which is my wife and her sister and her brother. And one of them go over there every day. Somebody go over there every day. Every day.
That's good.
I either want my wife or my sister-in-law or my brother-in-law, but somebody go over there every day. You know,
that's exactly.
Check on her, make sure that she's all right, you know. You know, make sure nobody's not mistreating her and nothing like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that. Because, you know, when you get into assisted living or a nursing home, the people, they don't treat the people right. They don't treat the elderly people right.
You know, that's right.
You know, a lot of time they abuse the elderly, you know, till they get kept.
Mm-hmm.
So we go over there and we check her out. So if we find any bruises on her, somebody going to pay.
Mm.
We shut the place down.
Mm. That's a blessing. Yep. 93. Half of these folks ain't seeing 23. They ain't seeing nothing. My God, my God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Praise God.
Well, Bishop closed us out, so we're going to go. I'm going to go ahead and talk with Nancy for a little bit. So I'll talk to you all later. Pastor Brown, I'm so glad that he's doing well. And let me know when you all go back on with our power.
Okay, we will.
Our
get up on
power.
The
okay.
Yeah. All right.
All right, Brother Deacon. Brother Deacon might have gone to preach for us on Saturday.
There she is.
She's coming in on Saturday. She's going to bring the message on Saturday. So if you
all
get
right.
a chance, stop by and support. Stop by and support her. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right.
Be blessed.
All right. All right. God bless.
You too.
Bye bye.